Book of Genesis, chapter number 15, please. Genesis chapter number 15. Sometimes maybe I could say this all the time, but sometimes more than others, I just need to be reminded of who God is.
Amen.
And I just need somebody just tell me who God is. And you know these things and you understand who He is and so forth, but it's just sometimes good to be reminded. I know that sometimes parents have to remind their children of who they are. Amen. You know where I'm coming from with that. You know, do you know who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? All those kinds of things. As I was growing up, I was reminded quite often of who my parents were and what they could do to me. Amen? Or what they could do for me. And so today, I just, again, simply want to remind you, and I need to be reminded of who God is. Each time that God speaks to people, I won't say every time, but many times I should say, when God approached someone in scriptures and he's asking them to do something, and they're incapable of doing it, they can't see how it's going to work out, what does He do? He reminds them of who He is. And so they have confidence in that. So today, again, I want to remind you of who God is. Genesis 15, in verse number 1. Let me go ahead and pray before we actually start reading. Father, help us today. And I pray that God, that You will speak. Lord, I know that my voice will be used, but God, we need to hear that still small voice of Your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that our ears will be open and hearts receptive as to what You will have to say. And then, Lord, once we leave this place, that we'll have clarity, we'll have understanding of who You really are. And God, of course, it'll take forever and ever to completely describe You, and we still have more to go. But God, today we just want to do as much as we possibly can as You will see fit. And so for that, we thank You, love You, in Jesus' name, amen. So we see here in Genesis chapter number 15, verse number 1, the Bible says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram." Now listen to what he says here. "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Now, Abram was old at this time, and God's telling him He's going to make of him a great nation. And how am I going to be, start pretty much a great nation with no kids? And I'm past the age. Amen. So how is this going to happen? So in verse 5, he says, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Verse number 7. "And he said unto him, I am the Lord. I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." And so right away in verse number 1, he tells Abram who he is. He says, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So he says, this is who I am. Now let me tell you what's going to happen to you. And then right again at the end there in verse number 7, he says again, "I am the Lord. I am the self-existing one. I am the Lord." So he tells Abraham, first of all, he is his shield. He is his shield. So what does that mean, that he is his shield? He says, "I am your protector. I'm your protector." And then he says, "I am also thy exceeding great reward." I'm thy benefit. I'm the benefit. And of course, we've already seen where he says that I am the Lord, Jehovah. And that was the Jewish national name for God. So again, he approaches Abraham and he tells him that he's going to be the father of a great nation. And Abraham saying, I have no children and the one in my house is not mine. So how are you going to do this? He says, let me tell you, I'm going to do it. I'm the Lord. That's all you need to know. I am the Lord. And so let's look at another example here of Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. Right next door. And it's so close next door, I passed it. Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, now here he is, I am the God of thy father. What is he doing? He's telling Moses who he is. I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face as he was afraid to look upon God. And verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions. And he goes on, and you know what he's about to do. He's about to ask Moses to do something. And so, but what does he have to do first? He has to remind Moses of who he is. Same thing he did with Abraham. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. And so he's reminding them of who he is because he's about to tell them to do basically what they would deem as impossible. Exodus chapter number 6. Exodus chapter number 6. We'll park here in just a moment, okay? We're just driving through. We'll park in just a moment. Exodus chapter number 6. And look at verse number 1. Exodus 6, verse number 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, what does he say? I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, he says, listen, I've told you who I am. I've reminded you, now I want you to remind them of who I am. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. So he told Abraham, he reminded Abraham, I am the Lord, I'm thy shield, I'm thy exceeding reward. He told Moses, he says, listen, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, I want you to go and tell the people that are in bondage that I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Let me ask you today, do you need to be reminded of who God is? Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 46, Psalms 46. And this is where we'll part just for a little bit. Psalms chapter 46. I told Deacon Slaughter, I said, I'll be brief today. I said, well, don't quote me on that, but I'll be brief today. Amen. You'll get home before your chicken's done. Amen. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So I just want to tell you those things today and just remind you that first of all, and now look at what he says here. He says, in trouble. Now let me tell you what this verse is saying, because when I read it, I misread it. I used to misread this all the time. I would think God is our refuge. Okay. He's our strength. Okay. And then a very present help in trouble. Well, this verse is saying he is our refuge in trouble. He's our strength in trouble. And a very present help in trouble. So God is those things when we're in times of trouble. And I don't know about you, but when I'm facing times of trouble, it is good for me to be reminded of just who God is and what he means to me. And so even if you're not in any trouble, it's still good to be reminded. So first of all, he says here, in a time of trouble, the psalmist is saying he is our refuge in a time of trouble. What does that mean? That means he is your hiding place in a time of trouble. A place of shelter from the storms of life. A place of trust. And many times we need a shelter in the time of storm. And it's not a shelter that we've made or prepared for ourselves. It's not a shelter that, well, you say, well, you know, man, I'm going to run to so-and-so's place or nothing of that sort. No. God is our refuge. He is a place where we can go in a time of trouble. And as I think of this, I thought about being under the shadow of his wings. He is our refuge in the time of trouble. Secondly, not only does the Bible say he's our refuge in a time of trouble, but he also says he is our strength. He is our strength. And we talked a little bit about this, I believe, maybe last week or sometime or another. But he is our strength. He is your strength. Let's make sure we personalize this, okay? He's your refuge. He's my refuge. He is your strength. He is my strength. That means he is your power. Exodus 3:12, the Bible says, and he said, certainly, now listen, he says, certainly, now this is back speaking with Moses, okay? Now listen, he says, and certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. So what is he saying here? He says, I am going to be with you. I'm telling you to go and let the people know who I am. You're going to make sure that they're delivered, and I will be with you. Because we know that Moses gave all these excuses, right? Lord, I can't speak well. I can't do this. I can't do that. But what does God say? I, the Lord, will be with you. See, when you're having some issues or God tells you to do something, you see that it's impossible, you can't do it. That's why he asked you to do it in the first place. Because he knows it's impossible and you're going to need him to do it. So we just need to be reminded, wait a minute, God asked me to do something and he is the Lord. He will equip me to do it. He will be with me in doing it. Exodus 4:12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say to this person. I'll be with your mouth. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Lord, hey, I don't know how I'm going to preach this message. I don't know how I'm going to say this to this person. I will be with thee. The other day I received a call, and we mentioned this just briefly here. But what do you say to someone when they just lost a loved one just like that? I don't like getting those phone calls. And it's like, what am I going to say? Well, I have to get a hold of God. Lord, help me to say what I need to say. Speak through me to that person. Because I don't have it. I can't comfort them. Praise the Lord. I heard a message one time. The Bible says, comfort one another with these words. Lord, I need your words to say to this person. God says, I will be with your mouth. That's what he's telling Moses here. He said, I will be with your mouth. And I will be, listen, he says, and I'll be with thy mouth and with his mouth, speaking of Aaron, and will teach you what ye shall do. He says, that's who I am. And then thirdly, he says here in verse number 1, he says, I will be, I'm thy refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help. I believe that as the psalmist was writing this, because if you think about the wording of this, right, you're like, a very present help. It's almost to me like he's saying, I don't even know how to say this. But he says, a very present help in time of trouble. He's ever ready. He's always there. In any time of trouble, God is there. It's not as though, well, I'm in trouble, where's God? I know that we ask those questions many times, but the Bible says that he is a very present help. He's right there with us in the midst of trouble. It's not as though we're out there by ourselves and, oh, what are we going to do when he's left us? No, the Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble, forever ready with a help that exceeds. His help is sufficient. Chippy, the parakeet, never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in a cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. Now, you understand a parakeet, right? Okay, make sure I'm communicating that properly. Chippy, the parakeet, he never saw it coming. He's sitting there in his cage, one second peacefully, everything's great, and the next he's sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in his cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when Chippy was sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced him to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the water, under the running water. Poor bird. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with very, very hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the saddest heart, or stoutest heart, I should say.
And Chippy opened the door so he can run.
Probably so. You know, sometimes life is going great, right? It's wonderful. We sit there like Chippy. Everything's great. Next thing you know, and let me read it to you properly. You're sucked in, washed over, and blown over. And your song is gone. Oh, you're still saved. But the time of trouble has hit you. And you sit there and you wonder and wonder and wonder and you say, oh my, my song is gone. My joy is gone. Why? I've been sucked in. Whatever the others are. Blown over. You can lay them all out for yourself. Because you know what's taking place in your life. And this is a time instead of just sitting there gazing because your song is gone, this is a time where you need to be reminded of who your God is. You need to be reminded that He is the Lord. You need to be reminded that He is your refuge. You need to be reminded that He is your strength. And you need to be reminded that He is not just help in time of trouble, but He is a very present help in your time of trouble. He is God, and we are His children. And we can't sit there and gaze into life like our song is gone when we have God as our Father. And we need to acknowledge that. And He's saying here that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And so we can conclude with reading on here. He says, therefore, you've heard this say, when you see therefore, you want to know what is it there for. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Listen, we can go on and on and list these things, but what he's saying here, though everything crumble around you, you still belong to the Lord, and He is God. Amen. And we need to be reminded of those things today. And we cannot go around as Christians when our light's supposed to be shining and we're supposed to be a John 3:16 commercial and we're sitting there moping. Who's your God? That's your representation of your God? The world has already told us that He's not there and you just whatever. That's what they told us. That don't mean we need to act like it. Moses says, I can't do this. I can't do that. Abraham said, I don't know how you're going to do these things. And we can go on and on and on. Even Gideon, we can go on and on and on. When he's asked these guys to do these great things. Like, I don't know how. I don't know how. I'm the Lord. Lord, how do you expect me to have a pep in my step, a glow about my face? God says that. He says, I want your joy to be full. My peace I leave with you. How do you expect my joy to be full and to have peace and so forth when all of these things, when I've been like Chippy, I've been sucked, blown over and all these different things. How am I supposed to be that way? I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I will be with you. I am your refuge. I am your strength. And I am your very present help in your time of trouble. Today, I don't know where you're at. I have no idea. But I know that God said, hey, this is what I want you to give the people. And this is what I need to hear last night. And I was reading through this and tears came to my eyes because just, and please, again, don't, as I say things like this, please don't think of me as some holy spiritual guy. But when the Word of God gets a hold of you and the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, something just happens. And I'm just overwhelmed with the presence of God and who He is. And then I thank Him and I say, Lord, it's amazing of who You are. But what's more amazing is who You allow me to be in You. That's the most amazing part of this whole thing, because we know who He is and He's reminding us of that. But then He's saying, okay, I am the Lord, but I am your God as well. I am your shield, your refuge, and your very present help in time of trouble. And I can go on and on and on. There's so many different verses. I'm your Savior and I'm all these different things to you. And we just need to be reminded today of who He is. And so if you don't have anything else, maybe you're on cloud nine, things are wonderful in your life. Maybe you just want to come and say, Lord, thank you for who you are and who you allow me to be. Maybe you're in trouble today and you want to come to God and say, Lord, please help me. I've been running to the wrong refuge. I've been in the wrong place. I've been in a refuge of my mind, and this refuge is nothing but stress. I need to get out of this place and get to your place. Maybe you say, God, please help me to get to your refuge, your place of protection, your shelter. Help me to get there. Lord, give me your strength. Help me to stop standing in the mirror and doing these Dr. Phil things and telling myself I'm going to have a good day. Maybe you're not going to have a good day. God never said every day was going to be great, but you can have a successful day. You can have a day where God's glorified in your life.
Right.
You say, God, be my strength in this time of trouble. And God, please help me today. I need your help. Preacher can't do what God can do. Phone calls can't do what God can do. Maybe you just need to come to us, Lord. I'm in trouble. And I need you to be a very present help to me at this particular time. He hadn't told you to do it for nothing. Okay? He wants you to come and ask him. He says, I'm a very present help right now. Would you come? Let's stand. If you're not saved, listen, if you're not saved, you say, what do you mean by being saved? I mean, if God is not your Father, you don't know him, you don't have a relationship with him, would you come today? Listen, we have somebody, I'll be standing right here. We have somebody to come. If you want to come, I'll be right here. I'll pray with you. And I can show you. If you're a female, you want to pray, my wife is here. She can pray with you and say, listen, let me tell you how to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Listen, none of these things apply to you if you're not saved. He is, listen to me, he is not your shelter. He is not your very present help in time of trouble. He's none of those things. But if you come to him and you become his child today, he will be those things to you. He will be, most importantly, your Father. And when he says, I am the Lord, you say, but he is also my daddy. He is also my Father. If you don't have that relationship, you don't know that, please come and just say, preacher, I'm not sure. Listen, we're not going to put you in front of the church and embarrass you. No, we'll take you somewhere in the back. We'll pray with you, whatever we need to do to help you with that. Okay, so please don't leave here. And I don't want it to be an emotional workup. But if the Spirit is speaking to your heart, I want you to come. And maybe again, you just needed to be reminded. You know what we do. The altar's open. If you need to come and pray, would you come? Father, help us today. And Lord, I pray that God, you have spoken to our hearts. Your word has been preached. And Lord, I ask that you'll be with those that just needed to be simply reminded of who you are. For that, we thank you in Jesus' name. As the music plays.